On this week's episode of Friend Code, we cannot get enough of Breath of the Wild sequel, so we're going to talk about it again. Welcome to a new episode of Friend Code. I'm your host, Michael Damiani. This week, I'm joined by Michael Huber.
Honored to be here.
Honored to be here.
Honored.
And I'm honored to be here with special guest Rogers Bass.
Oh, thank you. I was just going to say, I am also honored to be here. So this is great. We're mutually honored.
Yes. I feel it. I'm channeling it in here. And I am so excited to have you on here because we're talking about Breath of the Wild 2. We might sneak in a little Fire Emblem at the end. Maybe just a little bit. And yes, this has kind of dominated the discussion, especially for the Nintendo realm.
Oh, yeah.
Since it was announced at E3 during their Nintendo Direct, the big finale there, we got one more thing for you. And I can't believe they showed Zelda. And I feel almost a little bad. It kind of feels like it kind of overwhelmed and dominated the discussion with all those other announcements.
Yeah.
And then they dropped that at the end. So many people like just Breath of the Wild.
That ending with that triple whammy of they did Animal Crossing New Horizons, boom. Banjo-Kazooie and Smash Bros, boom. Breath of the Wild 2. It was huge to the point where also like Nintendo employees who, you know, obviously knew some of this stuff beforehand didn't see the Breath of the Wild thing. They kept that out of the stuff they showed to other people.
I heard that,
and so the Nintendo employees were like setting up at the booth or looking at the Nintendo Direct to go, oh my God, there's a Breath of the Wild sequel? Like, what? So, fantastic moment. I think one of the best E3s of the past decade for Nintendo, truly. Like, lots of great announcements. And, of course, like, Breath of the Wild, critically acclaimed. The sequel is going to be fantastic.
Absolutely.
I'm stoked to talk about it.
Love when things don't get leaked.
Exactly.
Yeah,
me too.
That's what
me
that was, too, that's man. What I heard is that actually some big members of the press, like Jason Schreier, actually apparently said they got to see the Direct in advance of the Direct being shown, but they withheld that. That was not shown off to anybody.
Good
it was held for the proper Direct.
Good on nobody for spoiling Banjo, too. Because for me, I mean, I almost had a heart attack when I watched that. So I was really happy.
It was so like a coin flip because so many rumors, but they just never panned out. So I was like, is it really going to happen this time or not? Mm-hmm. And just that wave of like, it's really happening. This is really happening. This is so cool. And that music and that level.
Oh, it's so good.
Smart Mountain, so good. But... last week, or no, sorry, it's not, dude, it's been 2 weeks since E3.
Has it really been
saying
2 weeks?
Last week, it's been 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's been 2 weeks since E3.
We're still talking about it, though, which means it was a good E3, so.
We talked a lot about Breath of the Wild in our coverage, and our audience
rightfully so
just couldn't get enough. And we did a lot of quick and dirty, kind of like knee-jerk reactions and analysis, stuff like that. I wanted to have a little bit more of a proper discussion today. I want to start with the focus on basically stuff you'd like to see that wasn't either present in the first game or you'd like to see done differently. And we're going to start with that one. So, Huber, I want to know, what is something you saw in Breath of the Wild that you would like to see the developers change up in the sequel?
I mean, we've harped on this for years, many, many times already. Dungeons. The dungeon game was lacking in Breath of the Wild. The only real criticism I have for that game, that is just such a great game. One of the greatest games of all time. Like, I have no problem stating that Breath of the Wild is one of the best. And really, again, really the only criticism I had were the dungeons. The first one, you know, the first Guardian, it's like, oh, this is cool. You know, I'm eager to see how these kind of change up as we move forward. And they didn't really change up. Like, really the only memory of any of those that I took away and have now years later was the bird one. I thought
the bird one was really cool.
Okay.
You like, twist it and move things.
Okay.
That one really stayed with me, but all the other ones, I can't even tell you any specific moments for them distinct.
Wow. Yeah, because for me, I started when I got the game, I started with the Zora dungeon, the elephant.
Okay.
To me, that's the one that immediately sticks in my mind is like being on the back of Sidon and going around and shooting the arrows. And
that
going
part,
in and
okay, I forgot about
amazing.
That part.
Dude, that dungeon's really
entrances,
good.
The entrances, yeah.
Yeah,
those
yeah,
sequels
yeah.
are great.
It's the puzzles, I think, that were kind of an issue. And to just to piggyback off of what you were saying, too, I'm kind of in the same boat. Like, I do hope that there are more fleshed-out, classic-type Zelda dungeons in this one. But the other thing that I'd kind of really want, too, is like a more fleshed-out story, because so much of the story we got in Breath of the Wild was contained to those memories. And then, of course, the thing at the ending and the beginning, and that's pretty much it. So I would love, like, a more narrative-driven, dungeon-based kind of Zelda game. And based on everything we've seen in the trailer, like, it kind of seems to be going in that direction. Mm-hmm. It's very lore-heavy in the trailer. It seems like there's, like, either some underworld or they're going to space, or I don't know what they're going to do. But there's something where something's going on, and I think there's going to be other things to explore beyond just the world of Hyrule.
Like, think of how many storytelling opportunities that open up just by having Link and Zelda together.
And Ganondorf alive again. I mean, that's huge. Yeah.
Huge. I mean, just walking together with Link and Zelda, they can just be talking about so many things. Yep. Just endless possibilities there.
Yeah, it makes you think that they may have a potential for co-op there.
Makes you think, doesn't it?
Yeah, it makes you think. Unfortunately, they were at IGN in their interview with AJ Onuma, series producer, essentially asked them, is that an indication that there's going to be co-op? Wouldn't confirm or deny that just yet. So, you know, we're going to have to wait on that.
My hope is that there's a DLC that's co-op. So you have the campaign.
That would be cool.
Single player campaign. So
you don't want co-op from the get-go. You want it to be a DLC thing after you've done the main experience solo?
Yes. Okay. But I would still 100% be open to co-op because I'm a big Super Mario 3D World supporter.
Okay.
Love that it's co-op.
I know your love for that.
It's not my favorite Mario by any means. Yeah. Like Galaxy, Odyssey, World 3.
All right, he's winning me back a bit. Yeah. I had a second. My longtime fans that are watching this are probably like, Roger's holding it in, man. He's holding it in real well. I know he hates 3D World, like reeling in. But all right, good. You're winning me back over again.
Not even near my favorite Marios, but playing co-op offered something new and unique to that series that I've played single player so many years. So if they were to do co-op, like, I'd be open to it.
I mean, Zelda's going to be playable. There's, like, I have no question Zelda's going to be playable. Because even dating back to those original trailers for Breath of the Wild, there was the debate of, like, is that Zelda or is that Link?
Yes.
And there were all those different discussions about it. Onuma was like, well, I'm not going to tell you yet. And then eventually got to the point people kept asking him, and he was like, it's Link. I mean, it's like Link. That's Link. Oh, you play as Link in the Zelda games. And so I think he heard that. And obviously there's, like, the symbolic stuff behind Zelda cutting her hair in the trailer. It's like, okay, well, now she's got the shorter haircut. She's, like, ready to go.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a sword or a staff or something. You know, I don't know.
I want to believe they heard that. I mean, they obviously literally had to hear it. But, like, when they were asked at E3, Jason Schreier of Kotaku asked them about, will Zelda be playable? Anuma's response felt like, did he just ignore that he was asked before about it in Breath of the Wild and acknowledged, oh, okay, it is Link.
Yeah.
But he kind of had the weird, little awkward answer at the time about why, like, Zelda couldn't be playable. It's like, what would Link be doing?
And it's like, come on. She's got one of the pieces of the Triforce. Yeah. It's like, who cares?
It's like, okay, like, you know, come on, like, you'll get it next time, hopefully.
Yeah.
And this next time. Yeah. But he kind of said, I'm a little surprised. I keep seeing people want to see this. And he asked why. He asked Jason Schreier, why do people want to see this? It's like, I was like, it was like the time when I was interviewing the Square Enix staff, Katase for Final Fantasy 13, about dual audio support.
Oh, yeah.
Coming from an anime background, it's like, he's like, in Japanese games, he was like, why would people want? I was like, what?
Yeah.
How can you? Oh, it's just like, so it's kind of frustrating to hear that sometimes. But yeah, like, you got to imagine, like, after this E3, at least, seeing the reaction again, it has to be fresh in their minds. Okay. We're still got enough time. Maybe we should work in some kind of playable Zelda element, even if it's not for the whole game. There better be at least a segment.
For sure. Even if it's like an Ellie kind of thing. You know, where like you switch. Hey, look at that. Great. Just, there you go. Awesome. Yeah.
So. But going back to the co-op, with Huber's idea about maybe keeping it separate after you do, like, how do you feel about that? Do you kind of want co-op from the get-go?
I mean, why would you ever want to put something behind a paywall? Like, of course I'd like to have it from the get-go. Like, I also wouldn't be upset if it wasn't there because I've spent so much time in the world of Breath of the Wild that I kind of feel like that's cool. I could have a single player experience, either have like playable Zelda and Link together at once. You switch off between the two. I don't know. Like, I really don't particularly care one way or the other. I would love it, but it's not something that's going to make or break it if I don't have co-op. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, that's where I sit. I would be very cool if they have it.
Yeah.
I would definitely try it out. Probably do a whole playthrough with it, but I want my first playthrough probably to be solo, especially if it's optional. I will definitely do that, unless the experience was from the ground up crafted to be co-op.
Yeah.
Then, you know, I would be a little hesitant to jump in first that way. Reserve that for my second playthrough, you know, jolly co-op with someone like that for sure. But yeah, like,
you and Brad, 2 OP.
That'd be so fun.
He's so epic.
So fun.
And actually, while we're talking about the co-op thing and the playable characters, one of the things I kind of want to bring up too is that one thing that maybe I could see them doing with Zelda is that if she's not fully playable and she's not the other character, what I could kind of assume, because I feel like she's going to be playable in some sense, is that Link maybe is the one exploring the dungeons and doing the actual like narrative, like the main game. Mm. But we already have the world of Breath of the Wild. This is clearly the same Hyrule. We saw it in the very first trailer for this Breath of the Wild sequel. Maybe that's the twist, right? Is that they're going to have that original world, but now you explore it with Zelda. And that changes up the dynamic of everything, because she's going to have a different moveset. There's going to be, I'm sure the Korok seeds will be in different kind of places. And so that's how they have her basically go on her adventure while Link is doing the dungeon stuff.
Roger, this sounds great, because this was teased in the ending credits of Skyward Sword. Sorry, this is a spoiler for the end of Skyward Sword, so turn away for about 30 seconds.
Yep.
But in the ending credits, you get to see what Zelda was doing as Link was trying to find her. Yep. You find out she went through all the temples before you with Impa. And if you could do something like that in Breath of the Wild,
would be amazing.
That would be so good. You get the full story only by playing both characters.
Yeah. I would love that.
I do like stuff like that. Going back to your point about like dungeons, that's one of the things I've been one of my most vocal criticisms of the original game.
Sure.
Is that while I love shrines, and they did a decent job with the divine beast and those like gameplay hooks, I still miss the atmosphere and like the kind of the experience you get through going through a traditional dungeon.
Like I always think of coming to the, what the hell was it? It was like in the north, and it's like the ruined bridge, and there's like a barracks. It's
kind of maybe I'm thinking of like multiple different Zelda areas.
Yeah, Breath of the Wild.
Okay.
Oh, and Breath of the Wild.
And it's like
Tarrytown?
No.
You're talking about the north. Yeah.
Yeah. There was like a battle there.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Past Hyrule Castle. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
That place left more of an impact on me, more of an impression than any of the dungeons. You know. So imagine if that itself was a dungeon or something.
Yeah.
You had to like navigate through.
Yeah. Going through the big like ravine in Hyrule and reach the end and coming across like those ruins there. Like people thought it was like, is this like a forest temple like ruin thing? I saw a lot of people saying like, this felt like such a more impactful moment than any of the Divine Beasts.
Yeah.
So I'm on board with you, especially with this game theoretically. I mean, they confirmed it's the same Hyrule, but who knows what's going on with it.
It could be a different Link and Zelda. Who knows?
But if it's mostly the same terrain, even if it's transformed somehow, they can't just do the same shrines again. They have to do something. And that whole thing about maybe the underground's rising or we're going underground, it's like, there you go. Maybe there's something deeper down. Maybe there are proper dungeons down there.
Gear
and that's
him.
What's waiting for us. Maybe Ghirahim's waiting down there.
See, that's what I'm thinking, I think Ghirahim, because they were like, you can hear the sound effects in the trailer with Fee. And like you know the little like the weird twinkle sound effects. I'm telling you, man.
Dude.
Like I think that's what we're gonna get. Dude. I think it's gonna be something where Ganondorf
mostly. We're like, holy crap.
Well, no, I mean it though. Because think about like Link and Zelda, right? In this trailer that we've already seen, Ganondorf is being reawakened. He comes back to life. Yeah. The way we've been like built to think about Zelda is that Ganondorf is always a bad guy.
Yeah.
It's been built up that way. Like Ganondorf is always bad. Mm-hmm. But based on like some of the things that were in sort of the background of Breath of the Wild, and you saw like that ancient warrior, but he looks a lot like Ganondorf.
Yes.
And you see this dehydrated Ganondorf, like why the heck are Zelda and Link in the ruins? What if there is another threat like Ghirahim or something that releases demise?
Yeah.
Right. And so they're like, we need all the pieces of the Triforce. They get Ganondorf, bring him back to life.
Alliance.
And they're like, we need you. And they're an alliance. I'm salivating. I have goosebumps. Give it to me, Nintendo. Give me that rehydrated Ganondorf we're seeing fan art of online. Give me that. Give him teaming up with Zelda while they're fighting with Link. Oh, my God, dude. I need this game.
This is why I don't ever read fan theories.
Yes.
Because this is a 10 out of 10.
Oh, like, my God.
This is the problem
with
this.
It's so good.
Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah.
I just have zero faith in Nintendo, especially, like, listen, Fujibayashi is a fantastic director for the Zelda series. I have never, you're going to hate me for this, Huber, I've never been a fan of his writing efforts, and he was involved in the story.
Mm.
Some of his past works include Code Veronica,
which
I don't really like that narrative.
Fair enough.
I think that was very well put.
It's fair criticism.
But,
fair
and
reason.
Breath of the Wild, as we pointed out, like it's mostly told in the past.
Yes.
It's not in the present. A lot of potential left on the table with so many great characters. Maybe he will learn this time, and maybe like he's learned from his things, and he'll like craft a really good story. But I don't think he has the prowess to pull off what that idea. I read that idea. I was like, so good, but there's no way that's happening. Also, the other thing, I want to get this out of the way for my opinion.
Sure.
I sincerely hope that this sequel, and it's kind of building upon Breath of the Wild's lore, does not acknowledge any of the previous games in the series.
Oh, I hope so too.
I want that I cord to be cut, and I want new mythos.
I agree.
Even if it's retelling of stuff we already know, but like just in a different way.
Yeah.
I don't want to be like, oh, so you, like you said, like, oh, it's like people thought it was like maybe Midna's hand. So it's like, they're going to reveal that it was the Twilight Midna. Like, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
Please, this is a perfect opportunity.
Starting point.
And this kind of goes to my next question for both of you. I'll answer mine first. What would you like to see in Breath of the Wild that like just done differently, not just like didn't do like you didn't see it all in Breath of the Wild that you like to do? I want them to have a chance to craft a new origin story for Ganondorf.
Me too. And 100%.
Yes, like craft a new mythos. You kind of told a very bare bones tale about the classic Triforce, Ganon, all this stuff in like very abstract, very ambiguous language. It wasn't very concrete. It wasn't all these nice Easter eggs and the map names and stuff is like, hey, we're celebrating and appreciating the history of this series, but it's not connected to any of this. It is its own thing. And here's your chance to do this. I just want that. I'm at a point where please stop trying to connect all this convoluted stuff. Mm. You put out books.
It's like X-Men right now.
Like, you've done all the best you can.
Different timelines. Yeah.
I want to see that. But
fresh
like,
start.
Yeah. But yes, that idea. I love that idea so much.
But I agree with what you're talking about too. That I do want it to pretty much be like a fresh start. Because that's what Breath of the Wild was, right? Yeah. But at the same time, I do think it's kind of important to bring back some of those classic characters. But just saying, oh, Ghirahim's going to come back or Demise or something like that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be the same character in this world that they were in the previous one.
Yes.
So that's what I'm talking about. Like, it could be. There's all these other weird theories about it. And so I don't really want it to be connected to, like, Skyward Sword or, like, one of those original series games. But I would like to see those characters come to life in this world for sure. The Ganondorf origin story, like I said, for me, is something I love. Because I think Ganondorf in Wind Waker is what makes that game so good.
Thank you.
That version of Ganondorf is the best Ganondorf and is what makes Wind Waker, I'm going to say it right here, I've said it on multiple other things, one of the top three best Zelda games of all time, above Ocarina of Time, above Link to the Past.
I will agree with you on the story part
That's fine.
I'll give you that.
That's fine.
But like, no, that game's story is fantastic. And yes, that is the best depiction of Ganondorf.
Yep.
Paints him as such a sympathetic villain. If you didn't watch It's Easy to Like Anime, we were talking about that with Garo and stuff.
Absolutely,
about like sympathetic arcs there. Yeah, like Ganondorf, they nailed it, because before that it was just I'm bad because I'm bad. Like I just want the Triforce of Power. He like was a leader of a people, all that stuff. Good stuff. Go play it. I don't want to spoil it. Like go play the Wind Waker.
Twilight Princess.
But yes, I totally agree with you, Roger.
Hit or miss on Twilight Princess.
Take existing characters and recreate them for a new generation, essentially. Like, that is a good idea. I can get behind that. Absolutely. What about you, Huber? What's something that wasn't done in Breath of the Wild that you would like to see them try and do? Even if it's gameplay-wise. We've been talking about story so much. Even if it's a gameplay thing. Like, I know you love, like, Tarrytown and, like, the building.
Dude, I would love to see, like, the reverse of Tarrytown or something.
Destroy Tarrytown?
Or, like, or it's, like, 10 years later or something, and you see just, like, another legendary twist on Tarrytown, because like you know that's
one of the best side quests. It's amazing.
One of the best side quests in video games.
I need to ask you: did you cry at the ending?
I
did. I literally shed a tear when the music kicks in and it's the wedding. Oh my god!
Eyes were watered.
Oh. Beautiful.
So
and
good.
You mentioned, you know, all these other areas too that maybe we'll revisit in this world of Hyrule in this sort of different time frame. The one thing is the castle town, right? Everybody thought at the end when you beat Calamity Ganon in Breath of the Wild, well, maybe castle town gets rebuilt or that's DLC or something, and nothing ever came of it.
Yes.
Like, we need to get castle town. Need. Yeah. That's like, I would rather have that above co-op, above even like certain other like playable characters. I want to see castle town, like the real castle town of this world.
Give it.
Yeah.
Love to see that.
Give
especially
it up.
Like what they showed off, the glimmer of like the different towns they put in there.
Right.
Actually having a massive, like almost like hub maybe environment would be
amazing.
Be so good.
Like, is it an elevator to the underground or a little rocket ship that takes you to space or something? Who knows?
It'd be so good.
Yeah.
You reverse Tarrytown, Hubert, about destroying and stuff. But like,
it's Zelda, man, so you have to destroy it for a really good reason.
But
like painfully or something.
Boca Blind Fortress or something, right? Yeah. You make it where you have to just destroy it.
Yeah. You made me think, like, reimagining stuff, or to think maybe do like a, like, there's a well. They dig a well down there and they do like the bottom of the well arc from Ocarina of Time, but
there
then now they do it in Tarrytown.
Yes. There you go.
And there's some like creatures.
Bongo, bring him back.
So much
Honor Tarrytown. Honor it.
Love it.
I got some patron questions here cool. That's going to cover some of the speculation, because there's a lot of stuff to talk about here.
Sure.
Also,
yo, do you think the light cycle is going to carry into
Breath of the Wild? I love cycle. The Master Cycle. Was dope.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. It's they have confirmed to. Yeah, canon. Yeah. Absolutely.
You think you'll be able to start?
Yes.
Oh, it'll get an upgraded engine. A new engine, maybe.
Yeah. Like, where you're just like flying on it? That'd be amazing.
Yeah, you attach the parachute, the glider, and it's like you're off.
Dude, I want it.
Take off.
I want it.
This question addresses one of the chief complaints I've seen from a large group of people about the original game and whether or not they will change this gameplay element in the sequel. So this first patron question comes from Steven Santiago. Hey, allies and Roger's base. When Breath of the Wild first came out, I hated the weapon system. I found it frustrating when a cool or rare weapon you got would break. Luckily, at some point, I warmed up to it. I'm not sure how most people felt about the weapon system, but my question to you is, what would you guys want out of Breath of the Wild 2's weapon system? If you want it to remain the same, how would you improve it? Do you think it needs to be improved? Personally, if it stays the same, I'd like them to add a crafting system for the weapons. Love and respect.
Yeah, crafting, I think. That would be cool. Because I really like how it forces you to use so many weapons without it feeling forced.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely,
you know? You know, so many video games, especially now where we're just so trained to min-max and be as efficient as possible with our resources and everything. You know, we find a good weapon, we just stick with it. You see games nowadays like Doom and Wolfenstein kind of switch it up with them trying to encourage, like, changing weapons because, like, dude, everyone just uses the shotgun, you know? So I think being able to maybe craft a few specific weapons, but have the resources be rare and meaningful when you do it, that would be cool. Because, I really appreciate just having to use so much. And then when you get the Master Sword, it's like, all right, I got the Master Sword.
And we have crafting and stuff now in Animal Crossing even, like where they showed off in New Horizons where you're picking stuff up and creating your furniture from it. I would be surprised if, like, there wasn't some type of crafting mechanic in this. I like the durability system.
Yeah.
That's something I loved, actually, about Breath of the Wild. But one way I do think we can improve it is, you know how in Majora's Mask there was, like, the blacksmith guy you would go to? And they had the different swords?
Yep.
I would love it if you could just go, and maybe there's only, like, three of these in the game that you get, like, an item that you take to him, and he can gild a weapon for you so it never breaks.
Yeah.
So, like, if you really like the Gerudo sword, or you really like some other weapon that you find, he can gild it for you, and then it just stays with you throughout the remainder of the game, and it'll never break. And that way, you could still, like, have your favorite weapon, but you're still encouraged to use other weapons when the situation says you need to use something else.
Because you might find ones that are stronger.
Exactly. If you gilded an axe, and all of a sudden you're against some enemy that, like, needs to be fought with a spear, you need to use the spear.
Perfect.
You know?
I would love them to go that direction. Yeah. Like, I want them to, like, take, like a blacksmith system. Like, you'd be really good at that. And to play off your point, like, it should be, like, rare materials.
Exactly.
Like, your
side quests.
Like, side quests.
Like,
exactly. Exploration. It's incentivizes you to go out. Rather than shrines, this time it's like, you're tired of having this weapon that keeps breaking on you. I can promise you, if you bring me these materials, I will forge this for you. I'll reinforce it. And either maybe it's in steps where step one is, like, it's, like, double durability, and step three is, like, permanent durability.
Yeah.
Or even it goes further than that and, like, adds, like, plus one. We start getting the stats, like, plus ones or elemental effects, like stuff like that.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah,
I would love
absolutely
that.
Absolutely would love that system. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, absolutely great. Durability for me, it wasn't so problematic that it ruined anything for me in the game. I kind of early on figured out, it's like, okay, stuff's going to break. Just bring enough. As long as you went in with enough items, weapons usually were fine. Yeah. And especially if you did, like, some scouting of a thing, like, okay, this fire thing will probably be really good against these ice enemies here. So I'm going to use that and save some, like, you know, uses of my other weapons. Or it taught me early on, you'll get punished if you just run into a situation without any. Oh, I got one spear and one basic sword and a whole horde of enemies. Well, good luck with that.
Right.
And it's like, have a fun time with that. Also, to use, like, the dodge system to do quick strike flurries and, you know, using your bow and arrow, like, so crucial, and using, like, the slowdown for that, like, in getting headshots. Like, I like that. Like, I hope that part of it does not go away. Like, I think they need to retain that.
I agree.
One thing also, while you were talking about that I thought of, that goes back to an earlier question where you were mentioning things that we would like added to the game. I literally just thought of this as you were talking about this, because I'm thinking, all right, what weapons do you need to craft and how could you use them? Mounts. Real quick, I want to say one thing about mounts. I would love flying mounts. That's one thing that, like, I thought was really missing from this game, and especially, like, in the world, again, not to bring in too much stuff from the old Zelda games, but, like, we had the Loftwings that were in Skyward Sword and then never touched on again. dude, have the loft, rideable loft wings, where then you could throw these new weapons that you're crafting. It'd be incredible. You could like dive bomb. You see a group of enemies. You all of a sudden like shoot down at this group of enemies from the sky. It'd be incredible.
Oh, gosh.
So rideable mounts. Yeah, yeah.
I get nervous about flying because it like the boots on the ground is so important. You know, I think of World of Warcraft, like having to explore.
I get that for sure.
Having Huber, to really explore the environment.
Wouldn't your bird then have like a stamina meter or something though? Like you could only take him so far. Like you can't go all the way across the map.
Then
they
just like sleep or rest.
Exactly.
For a while
exactly.
Yeah. There could be ways.
Also, like maybe they can withhold it to a certain point in the
game. Exactly.
Like,
exactly. That too.
I did expect at the end of Breath of the Wild, I was like, oh, maybe they'll make a way I can glide around the whole area or something. And it, like, it's a nice reward for finally getting through it. And
what's the bird's name? Rollo or
Rivali?
Rivali.
Oh, Rivali.
The hero.
Strap on.
Yeah. You're on his back. I'm gonna call my cousin Falco. Here's an R-wing. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I forget the modern day champion's name, like they team up and stuff.
Yeah. I like it.
But yeah, that's good stuff. I think a mount, like doing some more interesting things with the mounts, giving you better ways to fast travel without literally teleporting would be nice. Because yes, teleporting all the different towers was nice, but at the same time, I felt at a certain point I was like, I still want to. I like the traversal in this game. Mm-hmm. I want to get out there, and there's only so much you can do, like riding a horse and flying around gives you a nice different perspective on things. Plus, those cool combat ideas that they can evolve the gameplay that way would definitely be nice. We'll have to see.
Some like airship battle, dude.
Oh my god!
Airships, water. That's one thing I forgot to mention.
Okay,
I thought of. When I was thinking before they announced this, what would be cool things they could do for Breath of the Wild 2? One of them, because they kept talking, if you remember when they first introduced Breath of the Wild back in like 2014 during E3, when we just saw that like field and the Guardian chase we now know is Link. They talked about the concept of this game, like where they came from. They said, original Legend of Zelda, like the freedom there, but also the Wind Waker. They said we couldn't, with the technology restrictions of the GameCube, we couldn't fully realize a freeloading great ocean, essentially, a great sea. So I was like, man, they should get another crack at that. What if there's really good ocean water exploration gameplay on top of it? I know they said it's the same Hyrule, but they never said you can't sail away from it. There's definitely water around the Hyrule.
Add a train while you're at it, dude. Throw a train.
Okay, to be fair, I like Spirit Tracks. You want to put a train at the end of the game, too? Maybe that's what Zelda's doing in Old Hyrule. Link's at the dungeons, and Zelda's actually setting up the Hyrule locomotive.
Yes.
He takes you through.
You have to use your ship to, like, search for train parts.
I love it.
Yeah, like, and do meaningful... I wish... My dream was that they could do for a water and underwater gameplay what climbing did for, like, open world.
Oh,
like,
man.
For, like, physical land to, like, water. Like, make underwater compelling. It's like, whoa, they actually made... good underwater game. How is this possible? Like, we're actually exploring under the ocean stuff. Maybe like that would be amazing, but not so sure if we're gonna really get that at this point. But that would be one of the dreams.
Yeah, because like before we move on, you know, like it can't just be the same map again.
No,
and if it was the same map and it did like, I keep bringing up World of Warcraft, but if it was like a cataclysm situation where like, oh well, this part's like charred and destroyed, so there's like this part is new. I imagine there's got to be more outside of
we already talked about it a little bit, right? Because we said Castletown, you had mentioned the fortress area, like that used to, everyone thought was going to be a dungeon.
Underworld stuff.
Like, underworld stuff, exactly. Yeah. I think we are going to get that for sure.
Like, is there water surrounding?
Yeah, if you go to the edge of the map, you can see there's like a big ravine and then water and abyss at some points, and then there's land beyond that. Listen, I honestly think that all they said is that like the Hyrule Sea is the same Hyrule. I don't think they definitively said you are going to literally be playing in the same Hyrule the whole time.
Right.
They're not gone on record
and said
that. And that's not something I think they would show yet. I bet there has to be more to than just playing and even the same Hyrule transform.
Yeah. Will there be time travel?
I really hope not. That's
the
one thing I
don't
want them to touch is time travel.
I'm right there
with
you.
Saw some crazy theories about those. Like, please, no, we don't need that. Not yet. Yeah. At the very least.
We just saw Endgame, dude. No more time travel.
So about that, about like the environment and the land of Hyrule.
Sure.
Next question from Kerbu. Greetings, allies, and happy to see Roger's base. Is the panel concerned any with the notion of the sequel revisiting the world of Breath of the Wild? I imagine all involved have already been tempted by the horizon and explored the major landmarks that make up this Hyrule's topography. The lure of the tower hunt can't work a second time in this world, can it? What are your expectations and hopes for how basic exploration will work in the sequel if we're in the same world?
No, just like, remix where the towers are, all right? Char up a certain couple areas, put some dungeons in there, have an underworld, whatever. Give me this. You can give me the same Hyrule. It's fine. I've already spent 400-something hours in the original. I'm serious. Look at my Switch. Like, I've spent like 400-something hours in the world of the original Breath of the Wild, and I still haven't discovered everything. So I think if they remix that entirely, like if they do a Majora's Mask type situation with this, right? Where personally, I think Majora's Mask is a better game than Ocarina of Time in a lot of ways. I don't know who agrees with that. Are you with me? All right. Good. Good. That's like, I'm good. But on that topic, I feel if they did something like that with Breath of the Wild, that'd be fine to revisit some of these areas, and it'd be fine to see some of these characters again. We're not going to get the exact same Hyrule. Like, we're not. There's no way Nintendo would do that.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. The fact that they're turning what were originally... This was originally supposed to be a collection of DLC ideas that they said just got out of hand. Anuma said, like, we just got too many.
Yeah.
Like, why don't we start... He did say we'd start from scratch. But I have to imagine that they're imagining ways to like reinvigorate Hyrule, whether it is like taking a Majora's Mask spin on it once some a cataclysmic type event happens. Yeah. Maybe they do just straight rearranging the Hyrule's castle's lifting up.
That's
what if
it.
They
changes
rearrange the landmass?
Exactly.
But also and change like things. So like where you think this is supposed to be, it's not there anymore. It's almost like a randomizer type effect. Like,
and I gotta bring up Yakuza. I have
gone. What about you?
I have gone to Kamurocho in like now eight, nine times. I've gone to this exact same city eight or nine times now in different games, and it's still a joy to travel around. It's still a joy to walk the streets. So round two, like this will be the second time, Breath of the Wild. Yeah, it'll still be awesome.
And I have to also imagine a lot of the time spent in Hyrule for most people was just like running around, like just trying to figure out where things were.
Right.
Now that maybe Nintendo's thinking, oh, now that you've like most players who played this are like 400 hours, like you've got a pretty good sense of the land. Mm-hmm. What if we give you new meaningful objectives to do in those? Mm-hmm. What if like you got to do a series of tasks over in Rito Village to unlock a proper dungeon? Like think about like Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, Twilight Princess, the events you have to do to lead into that sequence. Now that it is placed within the different parts of Hyrule, there are parts like there's that seaside town whose name is escaping me right now.
One of my favorite areas, and I also can't think of it right now.
It's like I barely did anything there. I was like, is there a big meaningful quest here or anything? It's like there are side quests, but
you can buy crabs.
I was like, there's no dungeon here. There's a shrine, but like, man, this screams like big story tie-in, and it didn't have that. I'm like, oh, this could now, there could be like a whole sub story taking place there.
Especially because that area is so like lush and interesting when you're exploring it in Breath of the Wild. It's like this awesome jungle type area. Dude, I can imagine like what a jungle temple would be like. Oh my God. Please.
Dinos. Some dinos.
Yeah, because that's the, what the heck?
Throw some more
names.
Races in there too. Like see like the Deku scrubs from like Majora's Mask and stuff. Like bring back some of that kind of stuff, man.
Let me like
the Zonai civilization. That was the name I was trying to remember. Yeah. That's like all the statues, the snake stuff. That's like one of the big mysteries in there.
Yeah.
We'll get to it a little later. There's
a
question about something like that. But stuff
expand
like that.
Expand the stables.
I agree.
Let me care.
Oh yes.
For my horse. Let me
absolutely
care for it.
Put in Pokemon and me for your Epona. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I mean, I love naming my horses and getting all the unique ones.
Oh yeah.
But like they could definitely take that even further. Absolutely can.
Like on the go, dude, little Tamagotchi style,
man. I dig it. Now, do you think Nintendo is going to sell you a Pokeball +++ to put your horse in? Because we already have Pokeball Plus, and now Pokemon +++. So
Triple plus.
You're going to get your little Ocarina, so you can play your little song to get your horse, and it's going to be stored, and it'll make the noise when you play it. No.
I'd do it.
I'd buy that immediately day one.
Sadly, I would too. Yes. This next question is about a specific character, but I'm also going to interject and add another part to this. It comes from Rammer.
Okay.
Greetings, panelist. Will Ganondorf talk? If so, this will be the first in the series. Even though I'm a little worried, I think we are ready to hear him speak. My biggest complaint from the original was Ganon's lack of personality. He had no substance and was just a giant roaring beast in Breath of the Wild. Mm. There needs to be a more compelling villain, in my opinion. What are your thoughts? So I definitely want you to answer that. But on top of this, we haven't gotten to yet. I want to get to, should Link talk in this game as well?
Okay.
So that was a big point of contention. So first, Ganondorf. Let's start with Ganondorf.
If it's in Japanese, yes.
Oh, so you don't like the English VO at all? Or you don't want to hear English VO?
Yeah, I don't.
Okay.
Care for it as much.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I actually, and I'm somebody who's pretty much a stickler of like, I like to play with the Japanese voice with the English subtitles, but I actually liked the English voices in Breath of the Wild for the most part.
I like them, but I just like the like a foreign language, any foreign language, just gives it more like fantasy and like more of a more of a disconnect in a good way.
Some
like,
people
more...
say that about Twilight Princess Midna, the language they made up for Midna. Like,
Twilight, yeah.
Everyone's like, why can't you just use like some kind of language that's not discernible?
There you go.
I've seen that.
That'd be cool.
Up.
Yeah. I would love to hear Gandalf kind of talk, though.
Yes.
He's got to have this cool, like, brooding, deep voice. I mean, I want it. Yeah. And we've also kind of, we've heard voice clips of him in, like, things like Smash Brothers and in Hyrule Warriors and things like that. So we know approximately what his voice would sound like. Just find a voice actor that can act in that same tone. Yeah. And no, I don't think Link's going to talk. It's never going to happen. I don't think Link is ever going to talk, ever.
So, yeah, I've always been a big, in the series before Breath of the Wild, I've always been a proponent that Link's a silent protagonist.
Yeah.
There was no need for it.
Yeah.
However, there were certain moments in Breath of the Wild. They even tried to poke fun of it in one of the scenes with Urbosa and Zelda in one of the flashbacks, like, oh, it's silent type. Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Like,
that type.
But like, it did get a little awkward at points with people talking in a scene.
Yeah.
Like, Link was talking with them and you don't hear it. It's like, okay, that was a little too much for me. It got to a point where I'm like, I don't like this anymore. I kind of wish... I feel like you need to go all in. I know it's sacrilege, but this is a new start. I feel like maybe rip the Band-Aid off of this one. That could be like the big hook, like the next trailer, like, oh, Zelda playable, all this stuff. And at the end, like, Link says something. It's like, oh, like, imagine the reaction.
Now, okay,
to
so
that.
The way they can get around that then, as you say it like that, is he gets possessed by Ganondorf or something, right? And so the voice that comes out of him is actually Ganon. And so everything you're hearing in the game, like when that thing happens, we see in the trailer where like he puts his hand up and then Ganondorf twists his head. If it's something where like they think they were trying to awaken Ganondorf, but in actuality Ganon like was possessing him.
Dude, possession.
And then, but you don't know until like midway through the game.
Yes.
And you're playing and then all of a sudden Link turns on you and then you play Zelda for the second half. Like, yo, it'd be amazing.
Reran the script here.
Yes, there you go.
Another workaround. Because I agree with you, a workaround would be a good option for people that like they're just Nintendo's just too scared to like draw the ire of fans. If
this is
any
a
backlash,
tough call.
Yeah,
they could get a companion, like fairy companion.
There
like,
you go.
Someone who could speak, like it's a voice that like people are more receptive to. And it's like, what is he saying? Oh, so Link said, they say like, no, Link says blah 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 blah, and Zelda's like, oh, okay, blah blah.
See,
blah.
I feel like that would maybe get a little more repetitive. I'm just thinking back to like when I grew up with Ocarina of Time. Every time you would share, hey, listen, hey, if we had that following you the entire game in cutscenes, like I can't imagine Zelda's giving this big emotional speech to Link. I would much rather him just like silently, you know, show approval of whatever he's saying, as opposed to, you know, Navi saying, oh, Link says he's sad now, Zelda. It's like, please,
that could get annoying.
Give me that, you know.
Or a gameplay thing where it's like they're speaking for him, they're not saying literally saying Link is saying, it's like I hear his thoughts, so like I'm talking for him. Or maybe, I don't know how annoying this would get, and you might have a better understanding of this, is if the Zelda or other characters worked more of Link's responses into their dialogue. Mm. Like, oh, so you think blah, 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 blah. Well, I know it's a cheap trick, but like...
No, but I just had an idea with the Sheikah slates. What if you know the speak and says? You know speak and say, like the old toy? If the Sheikah slate... Yeah, he holds it up. He types stuff in the cutscene and then shows
it. Zelda. Wait, do you like today, my friend?
Man,
oh no, the Sheikah speak and say, man.
Yeah.
Oh man,
and it should totally be just like Bill Trinan or something talking in like, a voice.
Perfect.
Like,
perfect,
there would be no other way to accept that. But I think
Reggie, dude,
yeah,
the voice
out. Contract.
He,
Reggie,
yeah, that's his job after, yeah,
he
he's retired now, he's now the voice of
Link. Absolutely, can make it happen. I do want Ganondorf to talk as well,
yeah, I do too,
and I can't wait to hear it. I think it's gonna like. They nail it, it's gonna make that character so much better.
Yeah.
Like I've been waiting for this for a long time too.
Yeah.
So thank you for that question. What we got next? Oh, here we go. This question's from Anthony.
Okay.
And this is a slightly perspective for someone who is a little underwhelmed with the original Breath of the Wild.
Okay.
And going into
First
the
off,
sequel.
What's wrong with you?
Aww.
In the words of Reggie Fils-Aimé.
Oh, Reggie Fils-Aimé. There you go. You gotta pull it back there. Hi allies. I have to admit, I'm in the minority. But I personally felt disappointed in the overall experience of the first Breath of the Wild. For example, although the overworld was really enjoyable to explore, see the sights, and do whatever you want with your own creativity, the shrines felt the opposite. After seeing about 20 of them, they began to lose their uniqueness and novelty, with the exception of having a single challenge to deal with. Some shrines being repeated multiple times also felt a bit repetitive. I'm thinking about the challenge ones for sure. Rather than having all these shrines, do you think it would be beneficial to have more unique dungeons in the sequel while keeping the freedom of exploration to the original? We kind of answered that already.
Yeah.
If so, should they focus on the dungeons or have a certain ratio of shrine type areas to dungeons, please? So the balance of, like, should they bring back shrines as well as new dungeons, and how do we balance that? That's the question.
I want the dungeons to be so ramped up. I want a challenge. I want dungeons to end all dungeons. Yeah. You know, I want like 6 or 7 dungeons in this game that just take hours to get through on your first go through that are just really challenging, really intense. And I think a nice way to maybe ease the frustration, because, dude, I get stuck on puzzles all the freaking time, but it's a pleasure in Zelda, you know? I don't mind being stuck.
Of course, no.
But I think having those kind of shrine-like moments within a dungeon, so there's these moments where it's like, all right, I'm going to solve this, some kind of, like, not necessarily like freebies, but kind of just easier puzzles to solve within the larger dungeon. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, like, when you finish some of the shrines are so easy, it just feels good to, like, all right, knock a few
fly
out.
Them out. Yeah.
Yeah, but then there's ones that are, like, really hard. So as long as you have that balance in a dungeon, I think that'll be...
Yeah, and I think they had a legitimate concern, too, with the amount of shrines, because so many of them were kind of, like, the same repetitive puzzle. It's like, oh, flip this around. I already know the trick. If I just flip my Switch around or flip the motion controls, I can avoid this entire puzzle. So I think, it would be nice to still have some shrines in there, but maybe that is how you get those items we were talking about with, like, gilding, or maybe that's how you get, like, your heart pieces or whatever. You don't have to have all the spirit orbs that you were getting in the old ones before. Instead, you can maybe have, like, 40 of those shrines scattered throughout the world that each give you a very specific type of reward, either, like, a new weapon or something. Yeah. Meanwhile, the dungeons, you can explore at your own pace. Whichever dungeon you want to do first, you can do first. But they're, like you said, big, meaty experiences. And I'd want, like, at least 5 or 6 of them minimum.
I would really like to see them channel in a little bit of the classic Zelda, like 3D Zelda dungeon design and philosophy, but not to the extent that, like, it's like the core fundamental, like, principle of the dungeon, but, like, I would like to see shrines, especially optional shrines, which have new items you can get there. Like, let's say, like, the hookshot is not required, but you could find it if you found it in, like, a shrine or a different subspace.
And then it makes that dungeon easier.
There you go. Exactly. Yes. So I want them to retain the freedom of, if you go in with the basic tools that you're going to get at the beginning of the game again, you could still complete every dungeon. Absolutely. It just might be a little bit more challenging if you do it that way. Whereas, as you said, if I bring in the hookshot, maybe I can take a different path through there.
Right.
And maybe an item I have will make a boss easier as well. It's like, I could beat him with enough parries and stuff. It takes a little while, but it's challenging. But if I had to hookshot, I could have broken off his shield or whatever. Like, stuff, I'd like to see that, but not in your face.
Yeah. The internet has kind of, like, spoiled it a little bit, but those conversations would be so fun, where I'm just like, dude, Damiani, man, I had to climb this part. That climbing part was so hard. And you're like, dude, use the hookshot. It's like, hookshot? Yeah. Like, what?
Where'd you find that? It's over on the other side of
that. That didn't ruin anything about Breath of the Wild to me. I actually think the internet helped my enjoyment of Breath of the Wild. Just because, especially with, like, the physics and where people were saying, I'm going to stop time on this demon, hit this at this point, and you could skip a whole thing in the dungeon. Like, that was actually fun to me, because a lot of that stuff you would never know unless you're, like, hardcore in a Zelda or you liked this one mechanic. So, yeah, I disagree with that it would ruin the experience. I actually think it would help the experience.
I just mean, like, wiki guides, like, every single thing being known immediately.
Oh, that's, sure, you know, sure, sure.
It's on you to, like, avoid them, but, like, inevitably stuff like that. I mean, I liked seeing how I did something and then watching how someone else did a solution.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly.
Like, that's great. It was clearly they wanted you to try and solve these different ways.
Because I just saw someone do, like, a shrine the other day, like, Nintendo, I need to do it this way, ? And they just did it some complete opposite way. They, like, launched some cube up into the main area. I was like, what the hell?
Well, that was my experience, going back to what you were talking about with that first dungeon that you did being the eagle, right? Where you're flying and twisting everything. I didn't do that one until, like, second to last. And so I was going through the elephant guardian thing or whatever, and I was like, how do you get up there? Like, how do you make a big enough jump or climb? And then I realized, like, oh, if I did the Rito one first, I could have just gone whoop and just fly up and done one of those huge jumps and then glide my way over. And so that would have been way easier. So on my second playthrough of the game, when I was, like, doing it in a master mode, I made sure to do the Rito one first and then went to the Sora one after that. So I think they could remix that in terms of the full dungeons too.
I love that. I also want them with dungeons. I not only want them to be able to be done in any order, I want something to be completely optional. I want there to be complete dungeons you can miss. Love if you don't go, like, go explore this area over here.
Cool.
Maybe talk to some townspeople. They tell you legends or something. You got to go invest. Like, all the cast mysteries and stuff and the songs, it's like, got to figure that out. Like, find out the geography, pay attention to things, and they might lead to that stuff again. I would love that. And, like, another moment here where it's like, dude, I beat so-and-so doing this and this. And like, where'd you get this? Like, dude, there's a whole dungeon here. He goes, I beat the game already, dude. What do you
know? I know, exactly.
Like, it's like, oh, it must, we wouldn't even know it's optional. Like, wait, yeah. you beat it without beating that dungeon?
Yeah.
And it was optional? It'd be like, yeah. whoa, that'd and be so exciting.
The fun thing, too, is like, you then think about the possibilities in terms of like the meta of the game, right? Like speedrunners, like being yeah. able to play through and beat all the dungeons some crazy way. Like, that's what's been so fun watching like Breath of the Wild's community kind of evolve is seeing these speedrunners who do it where they don't get certain items or they miss some guardians or whatever, or they just like go right to Calamity Ganon right at the very beginning yeah. of the game after they leave the plateau. That stuff is super interesting to watch.
Last question on this topic. I want to know, do you think they should do the same thing in the sequel? Like a crit path where you can just try and run to the final boss away?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And like
yeah.
do that? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the coolest things about Breath of the Wild.
There you go. You can just like run to the like little like thing in the middle, the floating castle, yeah. and see what's there.
Because it was possible.
So I guess
in the
technically
demo.
Everything is optional in Breath of the Wild, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The whole game
yeah.
is optional.
Yeah.
Optional.
Like I remember that E3 demo where you go through the different shrines that were on the plateau, and they had mentioned that yeah, actually in this demo you can get to the final boss, and they weren't lying because if you were quick enough to actually get through all of those shrines in like the 25 minutes or whatever they gave you in that yeah. demo, you could, and because we've seen speedrunners do it, get to Ganon That's by that point. Of the game,
yeah,
so
probably not at the point of the demo at E3.
Well,
like,
no,
yeah,
no, but the one, exactly,
it's technically possible now, which is amazing. Like,
exactly.
weren't lying in
I'm
retrospect.
Saying, like, you would need somebody who actually you know, beat
so
that demo.
We gotta
so
find
many
a real
times.
Time traveler and send
exactly.
them back, and then
exactly,
then
exactly.
We'll, yeah, there you go, yeah. that'll be viral marketing for yeah. it. No, that's a great point. Yeah. though. Like, I like, yeah, that's like love when something pays off down the line. It's like,
yeah.
we weren't lying, we told
no,
you,
no, yeah, we said you can get there, yeah, 25 minutes.
I got. One more question. I'm going to skip over this next one. I lied. I said we're going to talk about like this thing called the Zonai, whatever.
Okay.
There's like a lot of there's like unsolved mysteries in Breath of the Wild, and we kind of had a question about will we see more of this civilization that was showcased in Breath of the Wild pretty prominently. Like you remember the Tropical Woods area, Farron Woods we were talking about earlier. There's like those snake statues yep. and dragon statues, and like it's a civilization that existed apparently predates the Calamity Ganon stuff.
Yep.
And will that get like more explanation? Because you find out that it's not just contained in that area of Hyrule. There's a YouTuber named Zeltic who did a fantastic video.
Yeah, I like Zeltic. He's
doing
great.
The in
yeah.
their five mysteries of Zelda. They talk about the Zonai extensively in that video. Really well put together. If you want a good summary for that. I think it's like we'll see. That's a little too specific to speculate, I think, on in the sequel. Like, yeah. will we see anything of that? Maybe, but you know, thanks for that question, Corey. We'll see. But the final question I want to end on from Dylan. Hey, Rogers Base and allies, always great to see some of my favorite YouTubers crossover. I have
Boom.
Two questions. First, how much of the design philosophy from Breath of the Wild will be carried into the sequel? What will the direction for the sequel be, and how will that improve on Breath of the Wild? And the second question, I'll have to wait for until after we answer this.
Okay. I think most of it will carry over. I think the physics engine, you know, the emphasis on
stamina.
Exploration, stamina, that's
yeah,
all got to carry over.
Going away,
I think if
yeah.
anything, they're
going
to build upon it. And then in terms of like what direction the story is going, I mean, that's like... Who knows?
Who knows?
The thing is, I feel strongly it's one of two things. I feel real strongly it's one of two. I think it's either one, emphasis on the underground, or like where they were exploring the ruins with like Calamity Ganon and stuff. Excuse me. Or there's an emphasis on sort of what was seen during that GDC talk where they talked about like making Breath of the Wild and ideas for Breath of the Wild where they wanted to make like a futuristic kind of Zelda game.
Yeah.
And they had like the guardians and the robots. And obviously all that stuff was implemented in Breath of the Wild. A lot of it at least was. I would love to see them go all out. And then actually the thing where you see where the castle's rising out of the ground, it's actually like going into outer space or something. And we get like crazy, like old Sheikah technology exploration.
Yeah, that was,
like,
that was, yeah, because that was part of the, I don't know,
yeah.
remember. I know
yeah,
you,
now you know what I'm talking
about. We started
talking
about, now I remember, because
yeah.
the UFO demo,
the
they
UFO,
showed,
exactly.
Was, like, Link
exactly.
running around with the UFOs.
Exactly.
And then also in the unused concept art, there's the armless Link with the robotic
right.
arm
exactly.
now. So like,
there's stuff they could definitely
oh,
do.
Yeah.
And, going back to what you were just talking about with like the robotic arm, it looks like Link's in pain during that very first trailer where he's holding up his hand and you see, you know, he's reaching out to Zelda. His arm might be gone. He might have a robotic arm the next time we see this game. So,
oof,
and I think that would be,
that.
They
yes.
could easily, they could combine both of those, don't you think?
Yes.
I mean, you could implement both of those things in one way, but that would almost be even like too much. I would love to just see them explore
so crazy.
One thing. So, yeah.
But I mean, I'm expecting big things that
in Aonuma, I trust, man.
Yeah.
I mean,
like, even if something as simple as like it's just a new like a magic system's coming because
right.
we didn't have that in the last game. It's like, hey,
right.
magic meter,
magic
system
would be cool.
Spells
Din's fire and spells.
Yeah.
Yeah,
would love to see that. Yeah, I think you're mostly right. I don't think that the core philosophy is going to remain the same, obviously. The second question for you, Roger.
Okay.
And we're going to depart from Zelda now.
Okay.
And talk about Fire Emblem. Roger.
Oh, what do you want to know?
You were just at Nintendo and shared your demo. Shared your demo experience, I guess. Yes. Please expand on your experience and what you hope to see from Three Houses.
Sure.
What do you want from the school, and how will the battles affect your schedule naturally? Love and respect.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I want to say, first off, I loved what I played of Three Houses. So Three Houses, it was a cool experience. First off, hashtag access by Nintendo, whatever the FTC guideline thing is that I need to follow. Just know, yeah, Nintendo basically had me go play a long demo of Fire Emblem Three Houses. Most of it was actually a walkthrough. So Chico from Treehouse was sort of taking me through the monastery and what's going on in the school,
new
support
yeah.
systems, everything. She was explaining what you could do on that calendar. And then I'm even hesitant to bring this up because it's kind of spoilery. Like, I heard this and went, whoa. Okay. Basically, like, something happens, and then you get into, like, the meat of the actual game. So the stuff in, like, the – how do I word this without, like – making people mad. I will say that you can do battles, going on one thing you were talking about, in the monastery section of the game. There's like free battles.
Okay.
But the core battles of the story happen after the monastery portion is done. And the majority of the school stuff is kind of like Persona. Like it re- which I know, dude, I'm this, I love Persona and I love Fire Emblem. And you know, it's maybe not as popular among like the really hardcore demographic of Fire Emblem, but I love the support stuff in like Awakening and in Fates. I really, really liked that.
It's good stuff.
And there's lot of that here, but this feels like the perfect balance of both the supports and the gameplay. Because when we got into the combat, where you're like actually on the map and you're using the Gambit boosts, where you have like two characters who have a good relationship with each other, do the super powerful attack. You have some of the enemies that are on the battlefield, they have this little like red arch that says who they're going to attack on the next turn.
Nice.
And so that adds like a new strategy to it, because then you're like, if you're in a blind battle and you don't know what's coming at you, you have to figure out, okay, they're going to go after this person, but what if they're going after this thing over here where there's loot? So it's all like about strategy, which I really like. I appreciate that. And all the support stuff comes into play with the battles as well. So one thing Chico was mentioning to me is the monastery portion is basically building your like your squad. You choose a house. You have black eagles, golden deer, and blue lions, I think. And you basically choose one, which one you're going to be like allied with. And then throughout the course of the game, you can, in the monastery section, say, oh, I like somebody from blue lion, or I like somebody from golden deer. And you could do things to try to recruit them in the time that you have in the monastery and in the school. And you could have them partner up with other students and all this other stuff. So then they eventually come to your side once the actual battle begins and the houses are against each other. They basically would end up having to fight against their family. And that opens up story possibilities and all this.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's deep. Because she was mentioning there was a girl in the demo that I really like. Her name is Mercedes. She's in like the Blue Lion group, and she's a healer girl primarily, but she could be a bunch of stuff because you could change your classes on the fly, which is another amazing thing about the game. But this healer girl, basically, I love her look. I love her design, but I know I'm going to go with Edelgard's house. Mm-hmm. I like her design too, and I want both of them on the squad. And she had mentioned to me, well, you better recruit her during the school phase, because if you don't, you're going to potentially have to kill her later on in the game, because they're your enemies.
Yeah.
It might not be the case, but you might have to go kill her. And obviously, I'm like, I don't want to kill Mercedes. I just fell in love with her. What are you doing? So, like, you know, there's all these other cool aspects to it. And I think that going back to the support stuff real quick, too, and how that affects battle, is you can basically train with your students via one of the different activities that use up activity points during your time in the monastery. But if you choose not to do that, you can, say, cook with your students, and you could build up the bonds between the students. And you could also build up the bonds between you and your students as the teacher. But it's not something I saw a lot of people concerned, myself included, when this game first got announced, and they were talking about, like, well, there's the support stuff, but, like, you're a teacher, and these are, like, students. This is weird. Like, doing support? And it's not the case at all.
Okay.
But that doesn't seem to be the case, at least, based on what I saw. It's that, like, you're basically pairing up the students that you think will work well together, and you use them to recruit other students. And then the teacher thing is, like, you get graded on basically how good of a teacher you are. So you get, teacher points by, like, having the students have lunch together and taking them on different activities and figuring out, you know, if you really like Edelgard, but you really like her thief outfit, you could say, well, you know what? As your instructor, I recommend that you become a thief. So you can go through and actually give her the right kind of skills and activity points to have her become a thief later on, which... I mean, it's so in-depth, and it's vast, and there's so much to do, and the exploration in the castle area as well. The monastery is huge. It's like open.
Oh, that's good to hear.
It's great, man. It's great. I'm absolutely in love with Three Houses.
Able to like run around an environment in like a Fire Emblem game and like wanting it for so long, and it's like everything I've heard about the monastery like screams yes.
The music
to me.
Is amazing. One thing I will say, I found this out in the demo. You cannot pet the dog. There's a little dog and a little cat that runs around. There's like a bunch of little animals that run around.
Patch
the
it in.
You can't pet
DLC.
The dog.
Patch it in.
I know. DLC. I tweeted at the Twitter account for Can You Pet the Dog? I was like, sorry, you cannot pet the dog in Fire Emblem Three Houses. So.
My biggest question going to Fire Emblem, besides like having all the monastery stuff answered, is like battles outside of the monastery.
Sure.
The topography of the battlefields, because not since the last console entries, the GameCube and Wii, Path of Radiance and Radiant Dawn, did I feel like battles like really took great advantage of like your surroundings and like I have a height advantage, like I'm on a hill and I can roll down a rock on you, or like, you know, dealing with ballistas and stuff like that. Did you get to see any? I haven't watched
enough
of the treehouse yet.
Not really. Like, I saw, I mean, there's obviously like the trees that you could hide in. So say, for example, you have a character that's an archer and you see another character that's a couple spaces away. You can hide them in the trees and basically like snipe people from the trees, which is kind of cool.
That's cool.
So there's that kind of stuff. But in terms of the like hills where you're rolling down boulders, I didn't see that.
Okay.
The big change with the battles is the implementation of these like demonic beasts, I think is what they're called. So these giant enemies that are on the battlefield that take up four squares and have multiple HP bars.
Oh, they're doing like the old school boss, like dragons.
These beasts basically have all like loot in a lot of these different missions that you're in. They have loot. And what can happen is they're like a third army that's basically on the field. So you've got like maybe these bandits that are trying to attack you, but they also want to get the loot from this beast. And if they kill it first, then they're the ones who get the stuff. But say, for example, you're like, well, my army's small right now. I let a bunch of people die in the previous mission. I'm screwed right now. You can also sort of whittle away at the bandit army while they're taking advantage of trying to kill the demon thing. And then you just swoop in at the very ending and knock them all out and get the loot. So there's a lot of strategy involved, and that part of it really got me excited.
Love loot,
and
I love demonic beasts.
The one that's in the demo that I played was like this weird, I don't know what it was. It was like a mix of like a rhino dragon thing. It was real cool. It was really, really cool. Awesome. So yeah, check out the footage I uploaded. It's really cool.
Nice.
This will be my first Fire Emblem game.
Nice.
Oh, nice. Okay, cool. I will say, this seems like a great place to start.
It seems like the Monster Hunter World / Yakuza 0 of like getting people into long-running franchise. This really does feel like the one that's going to get a lot of people on Fire Emblem.
They've had really good entry points in the last few years. Like Awakening was like heralded as like one of like a great entry point at the time.
Everyone tells me to play
it was really
that.
Good.
Awakening's so good.
Yeah. Not the best full representation of Fire Emblem. If you just want a no-cost entry, obviously you could do Echoes, the mobile game.
Right.
Or sorry,
Heroes.
Heroes, thank you. Sorry. Warriors is the Dynasty, or the Musou one. Echoes is the Shadows of Valentia remake.
Fates is the three-part
one. Fates is the three. Sorry, I'm getting names. But yes, Heroes is the mobile one, which you can just like get a basic concept of how Fire Emblem works. And I feel like if you like that one, then jump into Awakening or now this one. Yeah. So. But yeah, you jumping in this one, Huber, is interesting. I'm curious to see how you feel. But like, I'm also
is it
love
next
Fire
year?
No, it's
July.
Next month.
Next one, July 26th.
So that was the other thing too. So I obviously we just went to E3, all of us, and I set up my media appointment, and I was like, "Can I play Fire Emblem?" And they're like, "Yeah, it's not going to be at E3." And I went, "Like, what? This is the one thing I really want to play more than anything." And so then, afterwards, where they're like, "Oh yeah, you can come in and do a demo of it," I was so happy and relieved because I was genuinely concerned going into this. I'm like, why wasn't this at E3? But then, as I was playing through it, I realized, like, oh no, you need like an hour and a half to like demo everything because there is so much.
Absolutely, what I thought with this game. I was like, there's no way they're gonna let you play it at E3. But Treehouse made the most sense for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously got that.
But yeah, the monastery, the battles, everything is great.
Good stuff to hear. Yeah. Excited to hear.
Happy to report. I can't wait to do. I'm going to do a full playthrough, hard mode.
Sick.
If a character dies, the character dies. That's it. I have to keep going.
Is that a hard mode exclusive? Permadeath?
So that's classic. So there's classic and then there's casual.
Nice.
But actually, that's a new feature that I could bring up too, real quick. Is there's this thing called divine? It's like divine rewind or something. Where basically it's a mechanic now where you can undo if you made like a really bad mistake. You can do it once per battle to like rewind time a turn. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it.
But Huber, I always work up, especially like a Path of Radiance, Radiant Dawn. I usually always force myself eventually play hardest difficulty.
Yeah.
And I will not accept permadeath. So if I permadeath, I have to restart that mission.
That's what Chico said. Yeah. She does too. And I'm like,
that was
going.
Like how I play like Path of Radiance, Radiant Dawn. Older Fire Emblem games, I would like, okay, I lost somebody, so it's a stake. But like Path ratings rain down. If I play them ever, like when I replay them again, I absolutely cannot leave anyone behind. And I gotta get everyone. I gotta unlock everyone as well.
Full
so it's
party.
Like super.
Radiant Dawn is also very difficult, if I remember correctly. So it's like if you did lose anybody,
playing the first mission of Radiant Dawn on the hardest difficulty is just like you might spend a long ass time on that. Just like slightest like one wrong move, it's like you're done. You're done. Went one step too far. You lost that person. Now you can't recover from this. Like. And it's such a small battlefield, too. It's a really good tutorial about you really need to think things out. Like, even, something that seems so simple as this on the small map. Yeah. I love that about Fire Emblem. Love it about Fire Emblem. Yeah. Love so many things about Fire Emblem.
Me, too.
But, yeah, thank you for sharing that.
You're very welcome, of course. Yeah.
That is going to wrap it up for this episode of Friend Code. I want to thank every one of you who submitted questions for this episode. If you'd like to submit questions for consideration for future episodes of Friend Code, you need to be a $5 and up patron, and I make those posts the week of our recording, letting you know the topic so you can submit questions when that goes up. So thank you again for those. And if you're also a $5 and up patron, you get this episode of Friend Code along with episodes of our other shows as part of our early access tier. You're getting this on Sunday evening if you're watching this as a patron. For everyone else, on Tuesdays, thank you in the many ways you support us. I want to thank both of you for joining me, and very special thanks for joining us, Roger.
Of course, anytime. Yeah,
such a pleasure to have you on this. Yeah. Really good stuff. We'll have to definitely do this again when Fire Emblem
comes
out.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, when Three Houses comes out.
We do a show called Spoiler Mode where we talk about the story. Like we just go.
Oh yeah, we're doing that.
And right now, Ben Moore and me are on board for it, and Kyle Bossman. But like, we'd love to have a fourth for that. Absolutely, would love to do
that. I will totally be on board.
Yeah. Do you want to give any like final shoutouts or anything to your stuff before we sign off here?
So you could find me at Roger's Base on YouTube, on Twitter, on Twitch, and on Instagram. I do live reactions of manga, anime, video game announcements, pretty much anything. I cover mostly Nintendo, One Piece, Hunter x Hunter are the big ones that I'm doing on my channel right now. I'm currently doing a Hunter x Hunter watch through. We talked about it a little bit during the One Punch Man video. Go check that out. And the last thing I just want to say is earlier this week, we lost an awesome member of our community. This is Desmond Etika Amofa. You might remember him from like his amazing Smash Bros. Reactions. Very close friend of mine. We love you, man. We miss you. And so real quick, I just wanted to do a moment of silence for Etika. Again, we love you, man. And thank you again for having me, because I feel like this was exactly what I needed this week to sort of help cheer things up. So, man, this is for you.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, I feel so bad that, like, I never got to know him personally or anything like that, but, like, name was so big. You couldn't go anywhere with Nintendo without hearing about them, and, thank you so much for joining us stuff. I'm glad we could provide you some kind of comfort this week, man. Like, all good vibes and stuff. Like, absolutely, pleasure to have you. But until next time, everybody, may the way of the hero lead to the Triforce.